This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. Have you ever heard that relationships are somewhat like sausages? They're great until you start picking them apart and find out what's inside. I don't actually believe that about sausage. Hot dogs, yes, but not sausages. So I thought I would get on the other side of that saying and see what actually goes into sausages so I don't have to be concerned ever again. So I went down to Lobo Butcher Shop in Guadalupe, where there is a wide variety of both traditional and new and interesting sausages.
My name is Ernesto from Lobo Butcher Shop.
Your establishment is in the back of a convenience store.
Yes, it is. I was looking for a location. I've been a butcher for 15 years, and I decided that I wanted to start to go to business for myself. So 3 years ago, came in, my in-laws lived next door, and I saw that there's a three-compartment sink and that there was a bunch of beer cases everywhere. And from there, it was just, I asked how much they wanted and came up with the price and opened up a store. Today, we're going to make our famous Guadalupe. I named it after the town. So it's a jalapeno bratwurst, and then I just named it the Guadalupe because all the greenery and the algae culture and stuff. So I want to name something after the town. There's pork shoulder I'm going to debone, and then also I'm going to mix some jalapenos. I do add just a tad bit of beef fat just because it adds more juice into the sausage, makes it a little bit juicier. Yeah, just go ahead and grind it up, and I'll show you the process and everything. We'll go from there.
Okay, great. You said you've been a butcher for 15 years. Where did you learn your craft?
I started off at Vaughn's in Santa Barbara, so I'm originally from down there. I worked at Vaughn's, Gelson's, Sprouts, and I've also worked at a mom and pop shop called Country Market down in Santa Barbara. Just something that I caught on to when I was younger and something that I realized that I can do and came naturally to me.
Where do you source your meat? Is it local?
I use my local vendors. Try to get as local as I can. The people I use, they're out of Paso Robles and San Luis Obispo. I've been doing it for over about 10 years and making sausage. I learned from a gentleman whose whole family grew up in the whole butchery aspect. And before he retired, he taught me everything that he pretty much knew. Sausage was one of them. I like it because you can throw anything that you want in your sausage and make it your own. It is a lost art. There's not too many butcher shops or anything that will still go ahead and make sausage. I feel like it's starting to make a comeback, but it's not as like it used to be.
How many different flavors of sausages do you have?
I make about 18 different flavors, and that's not including if I add cheese.
I see in your case that you do some typical ones like chorizo and spicy Italian and sweet Italian. Do you do any others that are unique to the store other than the Guadalupe?
Yeah, I do a Hawaiian. It's a pineapple apple mix, so right when you bite into it, you just feel the freshness of like the beach. And so I decided to call that one the Hawaiian. The Hawaiian is definitely one of my top salads besides this Guadalupe, and the linguica are my top three. Like when the seasons come, I do like a Polish, or summertime comes, I do a kielbasa. If I have time, I always experiment when I do have time to go ahead and say, hey, maybe I'll make this one or do this.
Are there seasonings and flavorings that always work and some that never work?
I mean, that's what the whole point of messing around with the sausages. You know, you make a little 5-pound batch and then you have your customers try it out to say, hey, what do you think of this? A lot of the stuff goes together. It all depends what kind of sausage you're going for. Like if you want like a breakfast one.
Have you ever made ones that you just thought, this is really bad?
I did a garlic one and it came out too garlicky. Some people said it was good, some people didn't, but I think they just never hurt my feelings. But that's the only one that I think I've got so far that hasn't came out the way I wanted to. One of my, he's like my brother. He loves garlic. So he's like, yeah, I'll take them all. And I was like, all right, here you go. So they didn't go to waste.
And what about sausages with other meats? Do you use chicken and beef and turkey?
So I haven't made any turkey sausages here, but I've done them before. It's more of a supply and demand. You asked me to make you a special like turkey sausage. That's not an issue. I do have one in the case right now. It's a chicken spinach feta. I made that one to go with like an Alfredo pasta. Super convenient because it already has the cheese, it has the spinach, and it has the feta in there. So all you gotta do is just cut it up into little circles and throw it into your chicken Alfredo. You don't have to cook the chicken because it's already in there. So it's basically all in one. This is about the 25 pounds right here. So next step is to go ahead and grind it.
Do you grind it with the seasonings?
No, I do the seasonings after because I don't want the seasonings to get stuck into the grinder in the head right there. If you add the seasoning beforehand, you can do that, but the seasonings end up in the head right there of the sausage and you lose flavor.
This is larger than a home kitchen grinder.
This is a 32, the head right here. There's a 12, a 22, a 32, 42, and I believe there's a 52.
That's the diameter in millimeters of the plate that has the holes in it where the ground meat comes out.
This one's a 32. This is the smallest commercial size grinder you can get.
But you do put the jalapenos in.
Yeah, so what I do is I throw the jalapenos in first because the juice sits in there. So I want the meat to grind in with that juice. And then all this jalapeno is gonna go on the bottom of the tote. After we're all done grinding, I put the seasoning on top, the jalapenos on the bottom, and then we go ahead and mix it.
I see that you've included the ribs and the seeds. So is this a pretty spicy sausage?
It all depends on the batch. It's just jalapenos. You just never know. I do try to make it so it's not as spicy. So I'll get like a handful. You know, I don't want to make it too spicy where people don't like it or they can't handle it. Typically, I get people that do want that spicier sausage.
So as it's coming out, it kind of looks like white pellets.
And that's just the fat from the pork.
Did you make sausages every day?
Yeah, I've been trying to talk to a couple restaurants about my sausage and stuff. It is a lot better for you because I don't add any fillers or preserves or hormones or gluten-free, GMO-free, all that stuff. So I'm trying to find a couple deals and stuff that a couple restaurants where they want some freshly made stuff that doesn't have all the preservatives. I mean, it is a little more expensive. But at the same time, too, it tastes the way it's supposed to taste, not how people add flavors and stuff that you're not supposed to be eating. So next, we're going to go ahead and add the seasoning. So
you have a bus tub of ground pork.
Ground pork, but underneath we did the jalapenos first and then the ground pork. And then we're going to throw the seasoning on top. And then we're going to make sure the consistency is good when we add the seasoning to it. Sometimes you do have to add a tad bit of water just to go ahead and make it a little bit better. Just make it that right consistency.
So what seasonings do you have?
Salt, white pepper, spices, mustard, cane sugar. I don't want to reveal the rest of my secrets with the sausage. So you just mix it by hand. So typically that phrase, when people say you have sausage fingers, you get it from making sausage in your fingers. They typically, they get bigger from mixing everything around. When they say sausage fingers, they really mean sausage fingers.
So this batch is 25 pounds. Is that the typical batch size that you do?
If I'm in a hurry and I don't have that much time, I'll just do 25 pound batches because my sausage stuff over there, it only holds 30 pounds at a time. I usually do about 40 to 50 pounds if I'm gonna do sausage because we do sell them a lot. Our top sellers here is actually really sausage because there's not too many people that make homemade sausage like we said earlier. If you like, if you wanna try one of these, I could throw one on the smoker for you too and that way you could try it out if you want.
Sure.
I don't know if you like spicy stuff. If you want to try a different one, you can, or if you don't mind spice.
I do like spicy.
Oh, okay. We do make usually a habanero one as well, which I should have made a habanero.
What are you doing here?
This is where the sausage I put in. It's my sausage stuffer. It comes out through here. I put my casings on here. It's like a sleeve that goes over, and I put the meat in here and just go on and crank away. There's mechanical thing where like foot pedals where it does it for you. And I try to do more of an old school style because I want the old ways still continue compared to what it is now. Everybody relies on their machines to go out and do everything. You know, a little bit of hand cranking keeps me a little in shape, you know. This right here is a natural hog casing. So this is pig intestines. It's already cleaned and everything. That's what goes above this part of the machine. It just slips on and on. I'll show you right now once I put the meat into the sausage stuffer, and I'll show you how the rest goes.
You're listening to KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm finding out what goes into sausages at Lobo Butcher in Guadalupe. To my delight, the only ingredients that go into Ernesto's sausages are meat, some fat, and the seasonings. Ernesto ground the meat and fat and added ground fresh jalapenos and spices. Now he's putting the natural casing onto the sausage stuffer. It's a vertical chute with a horizontal nozzle at the bottom. The casing goes onto the nozzle and it stretches and expands as the sausage meat comes out. And then Ernesto makes the links. So you're just piling it into this long cylinder. This, it's about 8 inches in diameter and about 2 feet tall?
This is the size of 30 pounds. I try to keep everything in there at one batch at a time because if, say, you have a little bit left like this right here and you start cranking it and then you have to uncrank it and then put more in. In between, you get an air bubble and it'll come through the casing and you don't want that. So that's the reason why I try to do everything 50 pound batch. So I try to split it up 25, 25. There is this little machine where you poke holes so you take out the air bubbles. I'm gonna grab some hog casings. Make sure to untangle it first because they do like to get tangled in here.
Then you cinch it up on the nozzle.
Yeah.
And then we'll get to see it all come out.
Yeah.
There we go, it's all on there.
I put my pinky in the hole and I already took out most of the air, so I'm gonna go ahead and crank this. So right there, I feel it coming in already. So I go ahead and hold it and I pinch it right there.
Why don't you tie a knot in the end?
You can do that. Just in case there's a little bit more air, I can go ahead and see how my hand's covering it. I can open it up a little bit, let the air out. Sometimes if you tie a knot, you just end up with the air bubble right there. And it's just a pain.
So you're doing it in one long tube. You're not twisting it off.
No, we'll do the twisties after. And there's people that do the twist at the same time, but that's when I have a machine. If I have a machine and it's cranking for me, you know, I only have two hands. I'm not gonna do both at the same time.
How often does the casing tear?
If you know what you're doing, it won't really tear on you, but if you overstuff it, it'll tear. And like when I teach people how to do it, they go ahead and they make the sausage. They pack it too much, it'll tear on them when you try to twist it. Remember earlier when I was saying that you want it kind of squishy? So that way, when you do it, and if it's too hard in the casing, and you're trying to turn it, then it'll tear.
And that's when you're making the links when you're twisting it?
Yes.
Okay, so you've gone through your second casing, which wasn't as long as the first one.
No. And so when you make that noise, you're pretty much done. So you go ahead and grab this. You get your knife, once you're at the end. But you see how that last one, I used a smaller casing? Mm-hmm. Because you don't want a bunch of small casings, so just throw that back in the water. And now we're going to go ahead and link.
Okay, does this take some special skill?
It doesn't. It's a long process to remember. You're going back, and then you're going forth, and you're going back, and then forth, back and forth. In my head, I've been doing it for so long. I just try to make them the same size. See how I turn to the right? So I'm going to turn the opposite way, because if you turn the same way, it'll go ahead and unravel the whole thing.
It's about the width of your hand, pinky to thumb, and then you twist the first link to the right and the second link to the left, right, left, right, left?
Yes.
How many twists do you do?
About two or three, sometimes one. It all depends. Like this one, how it twisted itself. Sometimes you get to that. You gotta make sure when you pull these and they're stacked on top of each other, because when you pull it on the bottom and there's all that weight from the top, they will tear on you. Well, you won't get a full link.
If it tears, do you have to start over again? Restuff them?
No, if it tears, I put it in my bulk pile, and I have customers that come in and get it in bulk, and that way they just add it with their eggs.
So out of the casing?
Yeah.
How many links will this make?
This 25 pounds, I put them in packs of 12. You get about 70, around 70.
How much does each weigh approximately?
I try to make them to about a third of a pound.
It's a generous sausage.
Yeah, yes. I mean, they recommend half pound per person when you make meals and stuff. We get to the end right here. That one's obviously going to be half pound, you know. You
can't. That's a big one.
Yeah. Just cut out the excess casing right there. And then from there, I just go ahead and I cut and I make a pile right here. And at the very end, I will go ahead and start my packaging process. Right where it's twisted, I go ahead and cut so I get that length, so that way it doesn't seep out the side when you go ahead and cook it. Or don't get a weird looking sausage when you're cooking it.
You twist it only two or three times, so why doesn't the twist come undone when you cut it at the twist?
Sometimes it does. If I cut too close to the sausage, it will come undone, but I'm just making a cleaner cutting point for me. I've done it before when I was first starting, and I cut it too close to the sausage, and it looks like an effective sausage go ahead and coming out the side.
With no preservatives and no artificial colors or flavors or anything, how long will these last in the fridge?
About 5 days. It could last a little bit longer, but for legal reasons, I gotta say 5 days for health department reasons. Because after 5 days, I can't sell it after five. They're still good after that. But after 5 days, I go ahead and I either take them home or give them away to some family member. They typically sell, you'll see right now, how I put them in the freezer. So I only take out 12 at a time. I don't have to sell a whole 25 pounds in 5 days, which pretty much they do anyway, but just you never know.
I'm surprised it doesn't squeeze out the other end, because you're doing a little bit of displacement by twisting it, but it doesn't come out the end by the time you get to the end of the casing.
No, because like I was telling you before, if you go ahead and make it where it's super hard, then it'll go ahead and do that. But if you do it where you want that little squishiness, that way you can play with it a little bit and it won't pop on you. That's why I was saying you don't want to overstuff it, because then it will pop. If you don't do it right, it will come out at the end.
So don't understuff and don't overstuff.
Yeah, you gotta find that happy medium, I guess.
You've got all of these sausages linked now, and you're going to package them?
Yeah, I cut the butcher paper that I have. I cut it in half, and it's a perfect link to the sausage. After that, then we put them in plastic wrap. We write what flavor they are, and then we write the date on there so that we can figure out which ones to sell first. So we're going to put six on the bottom. Then we're going to put six more on top. After that, we're going to go ahead and close it. Grab a Sharpie, write Guadalupe on there. And then the date.
21st. Ta-da.
Yeah.
So you got them all packaged up here. What are you going to do with that big one?
Throw it in the case. They're not going to fit in the other length, so what I do is put that one out first, smile towards the customer, and then I just go ahead and reload the other ones, put the older ones in the back, and they'll be gone by tomorrow.
I'm happy to buy the big one from you.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay, so you put this in your smoker for how long?
It takes about 10, 15 minutes. Get it to about 155. That, I pulled out at 160. And then you just saw all the juices come out and everything. So I'm going to cut it up for you right now and try it out.
Are sausages popular with your catering?
Yeah, everybody loves a good sausage, you know. I get people that tell me that once they've had mine that they don't like to go to the grocery store and get the ones from the store because those ones are filled with fillers and preservatives and everything. Well, go ahead
and try it out. Okay, here we go. Really nice flavor. And the texture is different even.
Yeah.
And it's fresh, if you can say that about a sausage. Yeah. It tastes much fresher than anything you buy in a supermarket.
Yeah.
You're listening to KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I just saw how sausages are made at Lobo Butcher in Guadalupe. I took some of Ernesto's jalapeno brats home, and I'm going to try them with some homemade sausages that a parishioner made from his deer hunt. So my friend Jeff came to my house for dinner. So I'm here with my friend Jeff. Jeff, we are going to have sausages for dinner tonight. I have the Guadalupe sausage from Lobos Meat Company in Guadalupe. It's a bratwurst sausage with jalapenos in it. And then I have a parishioner who hunts and he makes sausage from the venison. And I have a Swiss-style venison sausage and a Swiss-style chorizo sausage. Do any of those sound interesting to you?
They all three sound interesting.
Okay, so we're going to just put them in my grill pan because, you know, it's the middle of winter and I'm not going to fire up the barbecue. I did think about putting them in the oven and roasting them, but we're just going to put them on the grill pan. So we're heating up the grill pan and we're going to do that. So we have these three sausages. What wine should we have with them?
Well, I brought a Letitia Pinot Noir. It is the Clone Touré Wattensville from the Arroyo Grande Valley. And this is a 2019.
A local wine for local sausages. Let's go for it. So what we have here are the three sausages. Dig in.
Okay, can't wait.
So this one's which?
I think that one is the Swiss.
And then this one is?
The one in the middle is the Guadalupe sausage.
With the jalapeno?
Yeah.
In fact, I can see jalapeno seeds in it. It's very meaty. The spices are really nice. They don't hit you over the head. They kind of sneak up behind you and whisper in your ear.
This sausage is nice. And what I would say is that it's definitely very different than a mass manufactured sausage. It feels fresher, even though I took it out of the freezer and I've had it for a couple months. It feels more, I don't know, is authentic the right word?
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to articulate. Yeah, you get the impression that you're not eating a whole bunch of sulfites.
Definitely, yeah. This one is the Guadalupe sausage. He smoked one for me, but this one is grilled. But still, I think I have the same things to say about this one that I grilled as I did with the one he smoked. And it's so different than a commercial sausage. It's so much fresher and it feels like, I don't know, it just feels dumb to say this, but it feels homemade.
Even some of the higher end commercially produced sausages still have a greasier taste to them than these do.
A butcher sausage and a hunter sausage are definitely in a different class than commercial sausages. And the sausage making process was so simple, I could probably make sausages at home. If I had the meat grinder attachment to my KitchenAid, the ingredients are simple, and the only resemblance to a relationship is, perhaps, that a good relationship needs just a few high-quality ingredients and leave out the junk. And Ernesto has the best advice for finding out just how good they are.
You know, I try to go ahead and make them as fresh as possible, and then that whole batch probably won't even last till next week. It'll sell out by then, and whoever's tried them before, they'd say, I can't eat the ones at the grocery store anymore because these ones taste so much fresher and better. You can't explain it, but that's why I tell people, I'll let my food do the talking instead of me.
Check out your local butcher's sausages and let the food do the talking. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.